This week, we'll talk about AI for digital healthcare, and we have a special guest today, Maria. Maria is the founder and the CEO of Skin. She is a podcast host, and she was named one of the top 20 women in AI. So welcome to the show, Maria.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so the questions for today's interview were prepared, as always, by Johanna Bayer. Thanks, Johanna, for your help. And actually, Johanna tried the app that we'll talk about today, and she liked the skin age that the app reported. So yeah, thanks, Johanna, again. And so usually we start the interview, so before going to the main topic, we start the interview by talking about your career progression. So let's start with your background. Can you tell us about your career journey so far?
Yeah, sure. So I studied electrical engineering in China. So I was always very close to the technology side of things. And then I started to work for Siemens. I did the transformation strategy for the managing board for mobility and electrical things, like all the energy stuff, which was quite interesting. But I always felt like, okay, I want to do something and to like do a strategy for something and then do it. So if there is a mistake or a wrong decision, I'm the one who has to deal with that. So then I got pregnant, and during this pregnancy, I decided, okay, now it's the time to change everything because my life is either way changing, right? So then that was the moment I decided, okay, let's found something, let's transform an industry that really needs to be shaped. That was healthcare then. And so we started the idea of Skin with an MVP and then different financial rounds. And yeah, here we are today.
Mm-hmm. How old is your kid?
My little one is turning 5 now.
5. So you went into that 5 years ago, right?
Yeah. So we started 5 years ago with the first ideas and our MVP, but we always, as founders, believe that it's like for us, we didn't have the idea and then we wake up in the morning and said, this is exactly what we want to do. It was more that we understood, okay, there is an area on industry that needs help from technology perspective. Mm-hmm. So in healthcare, you see like limited resources, a lot of issues, a lot of people around the world dealing with so many, many things. But the infrastructure is not that good. So we always believed, okay, we have to understand the industry first, and then we can come up with a solution, right? At these times, we didn't even talk about AI, honestly. It was more like, okay, let's create technologies that can help here. So that's why we started in the first 1.5-2 years, more or less with like discussing and getting to know all these different players. Like we have the regulation, we have the pharmacists, the doctors, the patients, the hospitals and so on, like also the farmers with medication. So very, very different players in this area. And if you want to come up with a technology or a solution, you have to deal with all of them, at least with most of them. So you have to understand them. And so therefore, we have not a typical founder's journey, I would say. We really spend a lot of time in this MVP status quo or bootstrapped to really know what we have to come up with, right?
Is your co-founder also a mom?
No. My co-founder is a man. Okay. He's the experienced one from both of us. He was, I would say more than 7 years in the valley, discovering different startup journeys and different companies. And so we met at university very much earlier and then just decided
in China, right?
Yeah. So, and then decided to go on that journey together.
So you already knew your co-founder way before starting, and then you got pregnant and thought, okay, your life is going to change anyways. Let's start something. So you talked with the co-founder and then you decided to go in the healthcare industry, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was a very interesting thing. After university, all the group of my friends, most of them are entrepreneurs now. So most of them started businesses pretty early. So we just sit together and I said like, okay, I feel like I'm ready to also do something. And then discussions came up. So it was not always just the two of us, but at the end of the day, when we knew, okay, this is what we will come up with, then there was a decision. Okay, it makes sense that we as a team like start this journey together.
That's quite interesting. And why healthcare?
I think like 5 years ago, healthcare was an industry that was not really digitized. So they just started to think about, okay, what could be different in the future? There was not even data, right? people, at least in Germany, started to talk about the data gaps we have and the lack of information. Also, for example, that medications just tested with male people, so not even with, like, not even all of them with women. So there was a huge change you could feel in the way of people thought about healthcare, right? So rural areas, for example, started to say, well, we have an issue with resources because, like, a lot of doctors' offices, like, the doctors are turning older and older, and we don't get the new doctors here in our area. So it was a time where you could feel, okay, there will be a change in the system, and it's time to do that in a sustainable way. So it's not because one of us studied in that field or something. Mm-hmm. It was really more a potential analysis of different mm-hmm. industries.
It's like in Germany. So I live in Berlin, and the doctors still communicate with each other using fax. So you go do MRI, and then they do the analysis, right, of the MRI, and send the results by fax to my doctor, right? So prints and then, like, it's 2023, and we're still using faxes, right?
Yeah,
and
I mean, let's see, you still get the papers for the pharmacies, like, mm-hmm. printed out, right? I mean, of course, we all talk about electronical prescriptions, but where is it, right, in the reality, in the real life? So it's still something we are working on, even if we are very different, like digitized in very different areas. But healthcare, due to the regulations and the sensibility of data, is always, I would say, two or three steps, like, behind. So, like you saw in the last years, a lot of startups, innovations coming up, but most of them, from my perspective, were, like, too innovative then, because, of course, healthcare is one of the oldest industries, and you cannot change, like, a whole ship with just one wave, right? You have to, like, keep the people on board. You have to understand the whole system, the ecosystem, and then you need to try to design something that keeps what we have but is still going into the future. I think this is the main challenge in healthcare. The second thing is that every area is working different, right? Not just every country, also the cities or the areas, like the rural areas, because you need to see what you have. Like the area where I'm coming from, we don't even have, like, dermatologists or doctors for, like, eyes or something. You have to go to the next big cities to find some. So there are a lot of specifics, and you have to understand them before creating a solution in healthcare.
Mm-hmm. From which area are you from?
I'm from Southern Brandenburg. So from Berlin, just going to the south. And yeah, I mean, my parents are still living there. Situation is not that easy. So my mom's always to Berlin to see a doctor. It's about 2 hours drive. I mean, we are talking about Germany, so we can imagine how other areas having issues then, right?
So from Berlin, in 2 hours, I can be in Rostock or Dresden.
Yeah, right? True.
Yeah. It's a lot of time, right? 2 hours, like, if we think about that. And, like, yeah, and also, like, in big cities, sometimes it's very difficult to find an appointment because, like, all the doctors are in advance. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. So that's why, you know, we always thought, okay, we should not start with the idea to think, okay, how can technology be used to do the services doctors do? We should think more about how to make them more efficient, or, like, to make the whole system more, like, progressive and more adaptable to the new situations and the load of people, instead of saying, okay, we need to change something. Because there is a lot of good things. There are quite good educated doctors here. So why not supporting them first, right? Getting them on board to come into a new chapter, a new era of healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so you realize that there is a problem. This is definitely an area where there's a lot of potential for digitalization. And then, because you are coming from the south of Brandenburg, your parents are still there, you see the state of healthcare there. And, like, we also talked about the state of healthcare in big cities like Berlin. It's also, like, not the best.
Yeah, and I thought, what is very important to understand is, like, I studied in China. I was also living for a while in Brazil. So I knew other healthcare systems as well. And honestly, mm-hmm. I think they're working pretty much different and sometimes much mm-hmm. more connected. And I will always remember I was invited to a conference in Stockholm, I would say 3.5-4 years ago, and they already came up with these kind of good connection data sources, and, like, they already thought about how can we do it? Because like the country is wide, so people are definitely on different areas. So, I mean, there's so much going on around the globe, around the world. So if you like, as a founder, I think one of the most important things is get aware of the things that are going on, right? Not just stuck into your own in like industry or country or bubble, how we always say, right? For example, our LinkedIn bubbles, where we always see like these great success stories, but keep yourself in other perspectives and try to understand what is going on. Like, I mean, you can see me, right? So I'm currently in Jakarta. Before I was in Singapore. And I was honestly, I had moments like that was so crazy. Just a quick one. Like, we always talk about how robots could probably change our life or make our processes more efficient, right? But I was in Starbucks getting coffee, and one of the robots just came to me and was asking me like, okay, do you have something I can put in the rubbish, right? So it's very much normal already there. So things we are afraid of or still talking or still concepting already there at other places of the world, right? So bring yourself there in the hotspots of your industries and try to understand like what could be the next level, what is the next step, or probably what you could learn out of that, right? I mean, yeah, my little one was with me. So for him, it was quite normal to see these things. But back home, you know, it's still a huge discussion.
So what I got from this is, while in Jakarta, there are already robots helping people, in the south of Brandenburg, there are no doctors, right?
Kind of that. Yeah, this is how you could say it, yes.
Yeah.
At least so,
So 5 years ago, you realized that there is a gap. And you started with your co-founder, who you already met before. You started thinking, learning more about the industry, right? Because like from my understanding, you didn't know much about this industry. You just saw that there is a problem, there's potential, but you still needed to get time to learn who are, you said, like the key players, like all these pharmacies, hospitals, who are the patients, what are the regulations, right? So how did you approach that? What did you do in these 2.5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I would say we started very rough. So reaching out to people or brands or like hospitals or whatever institutions you want to know more of, right? Most of them, I mean, of course, you can start Google, you could start like educate yourself, but then we really did it in a cold way, right? So we just called them or wrote messages like, hey, we're currently analyzing the industry. So then we got some things out of that. And you will always meet, if you really try, you will always meet these innovative or early adopters outside that are really open-minded and like let you feel or let you come in and give you some good advices. So I remember like we had several different meetings then in hospitals. We went with the doctors. We tried to understand like the process they are really going through, not just what you see as a patient, really what are they doing in their backend and their systems, right? I mean, of course, our job in previous companies helped us. Like, so we were like business proven that we are not someone, like we really want to do something. And then I would say we used a lot of accelerator programs to then understand the markets better and understand the players better, and especially about the regulations, because lawyers and so on, that's a huge investment for a very early idea, right? So accelerator programs really helped a lot for us. And then, yeah, we found then 2 or 3 big players that said, yeah, data is, or AI or technology is definitely one of the future things. So why not creating a prototype first? So we started in the AR area together with 2 or 3 brands. First, like created an AR filter just to do a quick MVP to collect some data. So we came up at a fair with these, it was a lipstick try-on, yeah, very rough, but very innovative at that time. And we were so proud because that was one of the first like try-ons on Instagram that were ever published, right? And then we just had a lot of people using it on Instagram, but also at the fair. So we collected tons of data. But at that time, we didn't even know what was the worth of it and also not what to learn out of it. So then we took the second half of the time to make these things first like understandable. Like, okay, which kind of data do we have now? What can we learn out of it? And then we discussed that back with the partners to see, okay, what does it say for possible solutions? So we stopped doing AR then for a reason, because this is what we learned out of it, but it was the perfect, very easy entry for us, a gamification entry to collect first data and first users at the beginning, right?
Maybe it's a stupid question, like, but how is a try-on lipstick app is connected to healthcare.
Yeah. So what you do when you try on a lipstick is you do a sequence, could be a picture or a video of your whole like face, right? So what we got out of that was not really about, okay, we of course saw how a lipstick fits you, right, from color, but we also saw the issues on the skin. So we recognized, for example, more than 80% of people didn't know their type of skin in these times. So that was a huge education lag. So we understood also, for example, the health issues people have on their skin, and then that we can recognize things or changing things very early already in this short sequence. So we saw, okay, it's nice to know which color of lipstick fits you, but honestly, what we see is much more about the status quo of your health from your skin, right? So that was a moment we realized, okay, there's much more we can do out of the data. Of course, we didn't have the algorithms then to do anything, but that was the, like, I would say the result out of it. Okay, there's so much more to explore. And this is definitely a more interesting market than focusing on lipstick or makeup, just makeup. But it's a perfect entry to get to, like, connected to people and to your users, because I think you can have a very good technology, but if people don't have fun using it or don't see a benefit in using that, why should they do so, right? Like talking about, let's do a health check. For most people, it's like, oh, I don't like it. I don't even like to go to a doctor. I don't want to talk about that. But every woman...
If you just use your phone, right, to do the health check, that's a totally different thing.
Yes, and then also in the from marketing perspective, it's much easier to get people on board saying, hey, you want to try out the next nice lipstick color, for example, or the next like eyebrow trend. So people think, especially women think, oh, that's nice. Before I buy it, I can try it. But in meanwhile, you can do so much more things and educate people about much. Like, so that's why we thought, okay, that was the second really big learning out of that. So first was, okay, there's much more we can explore. There's much more we can do from technology perspective. And the second thing was, but it was a very good entry because people are very much likely to discuss about makeup, like these kind of lifestyle things, right? So yeah, it was a very interesting time. And that was definitely our starting point.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, like for me, I see the connection. Yes, you take a picture, or I don't know how, like it's probably a stream of data, like a video, and then you try the lipstick, and then at the same time you recognize that there are some skin problems on the face. Right? Look, how did you know that this is what you need to do before you did the lipstick app? Because like you wanted to do the healthcare thing, yet you created a lipstick app, and then with the lipstick app you collected a lot of data, and then like you kind of started. Did you do this on purpose? Because you know that while you try on lipstick, you see other areas of the face?
Definitely not. I mean, that was the learning out of that, right? Uh-huh. I think as founder, you probably also know that. Like, you have a plan, but most of the time, you have to go plan B or plan C, right? So when we started discussing with all these players of the market, we were lucky enough to find some that says, okay, here's a budget if you do something, or here's a kind of resources we could provide, or we could do that marketing campaign together if you do this and that. So it was kind of a little bit like opportunity-wise to decide, okay, let's give it a try. I mean, at this time, there were no investors, no one saying or forcing us to do specifically these or these. It was really more about learning about the market, technologies, and then AR was at that time also very new, a very hot thing. So it was a lot of fun, like getting to know all these developers and AR hubs and all these kind of experts, seeing what is possible already, right? I mean, imagine now we are using filters on Instagram, TikTok every single day, but at this time it was really, really new. So for us, it was like an opportunity. So we went on the path, and we were lucky that at the end of the path, we came back to the initial idea. But this is what I always say, like also to other founders I meet, like, of course you have a plan, but you cannot always stuck on a plan. You have to be kind of flexible also, because who knows if plan A is going to work, right? So yeah, follow the path.
Mm-hmm. So for you, it was an opportunity to experiment with AI technologies, VR, or what's it called? Virtual reality, augmented reality, I don't know. like with these sort of things, right? You could experiment and you had some budget to do that. And you thought, okay, let's just do a lipstick app, right? And then with that, because like I immediately see how it can generate attention. Because you like even these stupid apps, I remember like you take a picture of yourself, a selfie, and then it shows how you would look like 30 years after today, right? Or you take two pictures, a picture of two people, right? And then how your baby would look like, right? Like it's kind of stupid, right?
Yeah, all these kind of things like coming up then over the last years, right? But as mentioned, we started with the lipstick thing. There was nothing was there. That was so crazy. Like when we published the thing and had it on the fair, I really remembered most people said like, never done something like that before. So that was like also an amazing drive for us, like from mental perspective, right? People really gave us the feeling of that is new, that is hot, that makes fun. Let's continue the way, right? So it was more like we came from one to the other point. And I would say definitely a lot of things. And you could see it, like most of these filters or apps, they not really came to a business case then, right? But from technology perspective, and it's the same you can see with AI now, right? I mean, there are so many different things going on. Everybody says, here's an algorithm. My algorithm is better. But it's not just about technology. You also need a use case or a business case at the end of the day that makes money and makes sense for the society or for the environment, right? So I would say with technology, you always go first. You can explore what is possible, but then you need to find the right case for the company. And this is exactly what we have done. So we tried different things with AR, VR, AI, whatever, all these kind of technologies. And then finally, we came up with a product or a technology that makes really much sense now. So very early in the process, after really founding the company, we were then profitable. What is kind of unusual for startups in that phase, but we took the time before to really explore and understand what we have to do.
So the lipstick app was making money?
No, but the lipstick app...
There was something else.
Right. Uh-huh. So what I said at the beginning was the lipstick was more like our MVP. And after that, we understood what to do. And then we established the company. And after establishing that with the new idea or like the renewed idea, then like pretty much after launching the technology, then we were able to make the whole thing profitable. Yeah.
Can you tell us more about like, okay, you did the app. You collected a lot of data. You realized that there's a lot of people have problems, skin problems, without even knowing about that. So you saw that there's an opportunity. And then, like, after you realized that, what happens after that? Like, from that point to the point when it's profitable, like, what actually happened?
Yeah, so after that, we worked on two different areas. The first is, of course, the technology. So how to really prove that you see things that are different on your skin now, and that how to prove that this might be a disease and having like issues for your health, right? So that was the first area. So we sat together with a lot of doctors. Telemedicine was just invented in these days, just started, right? So that was the first, like, okay, there are three parts. The first was really the AI itself, like how to see from a picture that there are diseases. The second one was then creating an application or a flow that makes sense, right? So user have a benefit out of the technology, because just knowing you have probably like acne doesn't give you anything, right? So you need a whole environment. And this is when we came up with our app Skin, which is a digital clinic. So you can get everything from diagnosis to consultation to treatment. So we also have pharmacies there. So you get a prescription. Everything is digital in one flow. And this is really where users benefit from, right? Not just give them information, also giving them a treatment and an ecosystem where they can grow themselves. So that was part one and two. And one very important part for me specifically was the ethics and communication of our solution. Because if I tell you in second one, hey, I think you have skin cancer, I mean, you would close the app and say, what is that? I don't want to hear that, right? So it's a very sensitive field. You have to, of course, not just keep in mind the regulations. I mean, and they're very strong also, but you also have to think about what you are talking about, right? It's a very, I feel a lot of responsibility dealing with this information. So we took a lot of effort and onboarded communication experts, like how to communicate that with, via application to people. Very short. I mean, you just have 3 or 4 seconds before people lose their interest of an information, but not dropping it too hard. So this is a balance you have to find, like how to make a good user communication. And then also, of course, the ethical part. Like if we're talking about healthcare, it's crystal clear. You have to create a solution that fits for everyone. Means no matter where you are, which time, which color of skin or ethical group or country of origin, like you want to name it. Also people probably not able to like see or to hear or to whatever. Like there are, I mean, so many different kinds of people, right? And healthcare is there for everyone. So I think this is the main challenge, creating a solution that is inclusive, an AI that is capable to deal with all people around the world. So that was then also a very strong concepting part of our business, like how to do that, or at least if you know your like borders, like what you cannot do, how to create something that people can still benefit or people still get a response, right? So that was a huge, huge concepting part for us.
Like when you start a company, you usually need to think about a niche, right? Yet with this ethical problem, you kind of want us to be inclusive and solve it for everyone. So how did you solve this dilemma?
Yeah, it is a dilemma, definitely. And that was one of the toughest discussions with investors, of course. But we made it in the following way. So we focused on one market at first, like you could say one country of origin for the algorithms.
Germany?
Yeah, I would say European skin. I mean, it's a little bit broader. It's not just one market, but more like European. And then we decided to say or to integrate a kind of plan B. So if there is something else detected, the algorithm have to say, okay, here are my limitations or I need further information. So you can do other things, other experiences, right? So we just thought about fallbacks. I think that's the most important thing. Not just say, okay, you are out, you cannot use the app, but you can find other ways or you can recommend other things. So we made kind of of course, we had the idea of be kind of like inclusive, but definitely with the core technology, we had to focus on a specific market. I mean, you probably know it, like if you want to create a good AI, you need the data to train as well, right? So it was nearly impossible at that time to have all the data for all different ethical groups, for example. I mean, there was no money, no resources, nothing. So we had to focus, of course. But it doesn't mean you cannot find solutions for like all the other possibilities.
And I'm wondering, like, was it even possible to use to get the data from the lipstick app? Because like people who tried the lipstick on themselves probably didn't know you would be using this data for other reasons, right? Yeah. So I guess for your case, you needed to start collecting the data from scratch, right? For this project.
Yeah, definitely. And we did. So the only thing that was very helpful was like with the lipstick app, of course, we created a community, right? So you can introduce different things to communities, right? So therefore, of course, we didn't start it from zero. So we could not use what we have done, but we could use the, I would say, the reach or the community we created to then get started pretty easy or pretty, I would say, like, at least not from zero.
Yeah, that's like I keep hearing about the importance of the community. And sometimes it's like, yeah, clear why. But like here, it's a super good illustration of why it's important. Because like these two apps are somewhat connected, right? But the community is kind of the same. So people want to help you. And it's the same users or like some of them, like there is an intersection.
Yeah, that's why I said sometimes it's also important to go like paths you don't think about in the first moment. Because like, of course, if you have a health application, right, you don't have to go to the doctor every single day, right? And your skin is not changing every single day. And your skin diseases are not there every single day or not upcoming new ones every single day. But especially women, not just women, but especially women dealing with makeup, skincare, hair care every single day. So still they are doing something every single day, right? So that was exactly what we fought with the community. And this is the border between like both things we have done, right? I mean, your skin health is not just related to diseases. It's also about how you treat your skin. So why not combining a lifestyle issue people are really doing on a daily basis with a health checkup? And that is then like what you see now in our application. So you have much more things to do than just talking to a doctor, because we believe that you have to like interact with your community on a daily basis, right? It's not just, yeah, specifically in one doctor's case what you could do. So community is definitely important, and we are working pretty much with our community. So we are developing features with them. We are asking them for like feedbacks. We try to see in the behavior like what they like, what they don't like. So of course you can improve the whole company and the whole concept of your application and move that over time, because just because you have a good technology, you cannot stop developing, right? You have to think about tomorrow and the days after already. So it's very impressive what you can learn out of your users or like communities.
And is it only for women or for both genders or for like many genders?
It's for both genders. Like for women, for me, it's just sometimes easier to give the example because I'm doing it in the same way. Like for men, it was very interesting. Very soon, we had more male users than female, because I think what is the point is that they hate to go to doctors, like most of them, right? They don't want to know other people seeing them going there. They want to do it more private. So applications like ours are very much useful, right? And you would not imagine, like, men really care about their hair, their beard, and also, like, starting, they don't want to age, like, all these kind of wrinkle things is very, like, very male-dominated topic. So it's the same thing here. Like, you can achieve both target groups, but you have to think about the content, which is coming from the community again, right? So just try to understand what they are interested in.
And one of the reasons I asked about that is I imagine that the lipstick cup, the community you built around that, was woman dominant.
Yeah.
Because like men typically don't try lipstick on themselves, most of them. But yet like the new community, the new users are both genders, right? So you somehow needed to acquire more male users.
Yeah, I mean, healthcare is, as said, like it's a topic for everyone, right? So everyone is included here. And lipstick or all these kind of, let's say makeup in general, right, was more in a specific target group. So it helped to have the early adopters and the first users like going with us. But definitely very soon also this group understood, okay, now there's a benefit for my partner, my brother, my dad as well. So it was more like a rolling effect here, like a snowball. So one came to the other, and soon, like I said, like we had more male than female when we launched the healthcare pattern.
And also, like, to your point of men not liking going to doctors, like I myself sometimes go to a dermatologist, and in Berlin it's not really possible to find a dermatologist that is covered by public insurance. So you have to pay.
Yeah.
And not only you have to pay, but you also have to wait for the appointment, like for 3 months or four. So like it's not just, it's difficult to go there. And then you wait for 4 months. Okay. In 4 months, like your skin probably changes. Like for example, like I wanted to go to the dermatologist in May. I book an appointment for the end of August. Right. And then like there's sun, like all this stuff. And like the problem I had before, like didn't exist. And then I go there and like, okay, you have spots on your face. Okay, thanks. Like I waited for that for 4 months. Thanks for telling. And like, okay, give me 100 euros now. So like with the app, I imagine that you can just, you know, not wait for 4 months. That's already an advantage. You don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to pay 100, hopefully 100 euros. So like I can only see benefits, right?
Yes. I mean, definitely what you mentioned is the core benefit already, but it's a little bit more than that as well, right? So as mentioned, you can get the prescription directly. You have the online pharmacy. So also if you need medication, it's directly coming to your home if you like to. Of course, you don't have to, but if you like to. The second thing is very often doctors say, okay, here is the medication. Would be very nice if you come back in 2 months so we see if it's working or not. in the application, you have the chance, like doctor and patient have the chance to see the development, like of the skin already, right? So you don't have to go there. You don't have to wait to your next appointment. If there is a huge thing going on, you can directly ping the doctor again. So the whole process is improved. It's not just a, like I would say, point of like a moment, like we can cover the whole story. And also if there is something heavy going on, even if the algorithm or the doctor sees that, of course we will say, let's go to the doctor. Yeah, let's see him in person. Sometimes it's necessary and that's fine. But if a doctor is able to put some of his patients into an online solution, he has more space in the office to see like the people that really needs him, right? So especially for dermatologists, more than 80% of patients are so to say, I don't know the English word for that, but in German it's called like, I see you and know within 10 seconds what you have, right? But they have to spend some time with the people, of course. What is a good thing? On the one hand side, from social perspective, but from efficiency perspective, they could have been much faster. And in digital solutions, not just in our app, but most of the telemedicine things, that's a huge, huge thing that you save time so the doctor can treat more people. And therefore, we can really change the way of how long you have to wait and how the whole process is done then.
Yeah, if it's less than 4 months, it's already like
a win. It's more like 24 hours.
And there is a comment from Grégoire. The comment is, like, I tried the app yesterday and it didn't work for me. I find the idea cool. I guess what I'm wondering, if there is any way to get in touch with you and give this feedback directly, because like from the chat, it's probably not easy to describe what exactly did not work and what worked. Is it okay to contact you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, of course. I mean, on LinkedIn, that's always fine. You can also use, like, on our website, we have the support. Also,
that's even better, right?
Yeah, you can also write them so they're getting the feedback and take it serious and try to, of course, make it better. I mean, I always say it's technology. There can always be things, can always be bugs. Something can happen. But in general, from what I know, everything should work. So I'm very happy to get information or feedback when things are going wrong, so we can improve and get better then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going back to communication, so you mentioned that you needed to find people who can communicate, experts on communication. Because like if I open it up, take a selfie of myself and it says, you have acne. Okay, like I knew it already. Right? So like how do you do this?
So first of all, we analyzed like it's so-called archetype principle, means that different groups of people communicate different. So you also have to give me the information different than I have to give the information to you, to make you feel like call to action, like I have to do something. So that was the first thing. How can you measure without knowing a person? Very easy. How can you communicate with them? So that was the first part. And the second one is then, of course, giving you a benefit, right? But it cannot be more than one or two sentences. So I have to not probably say, you, this is acne. I have to tell you, oh, here's a cream that perfectly helps you with dealing with your acne, right? So it's the same information.
With my specific type of skin, right? Because like for different types of skin, you need different treatment.
Yes, definitely. And not just type of skin. There are also other parameters like hydration, for example, wrinkles, pores, all these kind of things. So we started always to do kind of gamification to give you like kind of the information and some education to make you understand the information. Because honestly, I have dry skin, you have oily skin, for example, what does it mean? Doesn't change my life, right? If I don't know what it says to me, I will not change anything. So I need to tell you, okay, so you have dry skin. So for you, it's very important to act like this, 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 or do this, this, and that, right? So that was the first part. So gamification, education, and at the end, benefits. It's all about benefits. People do actions because they want to benefit from it, right? So you have to be crystal clear on what you are offering and how they will come to the benefit from the first moment. I mean, for sure, right? You spend time, you give data, you sometimes pay money. Of course, you want to know why.
Yeah, exactly. How large is your company now?
Around 20 people now.
20 people?
Yeah.
And how did you, because I imagine 2.5 years ago, it was just you and your co-founder, right? Like how did it start from there till today?
Yeah, I mean, we went on with financial rounds, right? So with every financial round, we could grow the company. We also do like freelancing in specific areas, like project-wise, of course, right? So I would say there was a very sustainable growing over the last years. So it was not one from one day to the other, from 2 to 10 people or something. It's more like, okay, let's see when we need new resources, what is now important. So for example, we just closed our last financial round for now. It's very specific for tech because we have good visions and very important things to do on the technical side. So we started to grow the technical team then. So we are not on the like one of these companies saying we really soon need very much people. We want to grow it sustainable and we want to see how we can develop our resources as well, right?
Who are you looking for? What kind of profiles?
Currently?
Yeah.
Developers, like AI, but also like backend, like full stack. That's definitely the most important thing. And yeah, I would say that's like the main part. Full stack and AI. So data scientists, data analysts.
Because there is a comment from Benjamin. I would love to be a part of that. I'm a data scientist. Do you hire data scientists?
You can definitely send, also on the website, you will find our, like, I would say info@skin.co. You can just send your CV. I'm happy to review it.
And the way you spell skin is not the usual way, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's S-Q-I-N, right? So you can also drop it to me on LinkedIn if you cannot find it or make it work. That's also fine. Every message is reviewed there.
And there's a question, and it's also related to my question, like about the size of your company. How did you convince the investors to fund your project in digital health? And what were the main challenges?
So the main challenge at first was from technology side. So are you really able to do that? Because my co-founder and me, both of us were non-technical. So they were kind of afraid, but that was easy to handle. So we onboarded a great CTO. We did this technology, everyone could test it. So here was the proof, right? I mean, it was not that easy, but at the end of the day, these were the milestones. And the second thing is that for us, main challenge was what I already mentioned. Like people don't really believe that healthcare solutions can be, how to say, sustainable from business perspective so that they can earn money. So for us, we understood we can use the AI also kind of in B2B projects, right? And that was a like a changing point. So we made clear that we are able to earn money with what we do. And then it was a much easier discussion.
I mean, so for your latest round, it was, you were already profitable. So it was easier to convince investors that they should give you money.
Yeah. Honestly, we had to, because after all the crisis we had in the world, right, the investors also changed. So the investors don't, it was not enough for them to just see good visions and good papers and good slides. They also want to see that you are able to run a business, that you can earn money. Over the last months and years, that became very important for them. So I think in our days, that's one of the main things you have to do as like company or founder to really prove, okay, we have the possibility to make money, not just a good idea. And we don't need 100 million to get the first money. We also like have good business cases already here. But honestly, that's a tough way, right? Because I mean, you need to find first customers then, which are willing to pay money, even if you're probably not ready with everything, right? But it's an operational problem you can definitely solve.
How do you earn money now? Is it by affiliation with something, or like people need to pay recommendation?
So we integrate our AI to different partners, right? So we do the health checks on different point of sales. So first of all, of course, in our own application, Skin, where it's a digital clinic, but we also have other applications and other point of sales where people are using our technology. So it's more like a, I would say software as a service model. And this is definitely where you have better use cases in, right?
So if I detect some skin problems and then the app recommends me like a specific treatment, specific cream or like something, and I buy it through the app, then you get a cut, right?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Okay. And right now you have enough money to like, sorry.
No, I just wanted to say, but of course, in health, it's more regulated. So you have to make a difference between like lifestyle products, like skincare and skin health. But I mean, that's for now pretty much too much. And the only thing I just want to let the people know is that, of course, it depends on the market, the regulation, and the software you created, right? But make sure that you can show that your technology has the potential to earn money.
This is what my dermatologist recommended me. Like, I will not show what exactly it is. You have to, like, a spray. I think they also get in a gut, like, because they, like, when I go to the office, the products, they understand, right? So I'm pretty sure that there are some deals, because, like, they give also free samples.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they also have to think how to earn money, right? It's also a business there.
Yeah, exactly. Who was your first hire?
The CTO, like the technical. But it was like not specific in AI. It was really more about the full technology thing. So I'm the CPO in the company. So I needed someone who is coding all my ideas. And
he's like the product officer, right?
Yes.
CPO. Okay. And then your co-founder is CEO, I assume.
Yeah. I mean, we share the positions a little bit. But over the years, it came that I'm more the product one with the team, and he's more like on the CEO level.
I know that we only have 3 minutes, and the question I have might take more time. You have at least one kid, right? How did you even manage to, like, with one kid, when especially when the kid was growing up, to do anything, let alone like start a successful company?
Yeah. That was a challenge, definitely. I mean, COVID was always also there, right? So he was at home with me. But I mean, I have a very supportive surrounding. So honestly, I take him to the company if needed. I take him to business meetings if needed. He's there and he's part of it, right? So he's there from the beginning. So I think it's the new generation and the new style of work we have. Of course, you have to be concentrated. I'm not saying I can do everything on the same time, but you need to be kind of flexible sometimes. Mm-hmm. For me also, it works really good to structure my day. Like, there are hours I really just spend with him, and there are hours I definitely just work, right? So, but it doesn't mean I'm working from 8 to 4. It's more flexible in my case because I have to pick him up from the kindergarten. There's no other way, right? Yeah. So I'm doing kind of a flexible working model, but it works out pretty nice. Like, all our investors know him from the beginning. He's like I said, like, if we have investor reporting meeting and I have to take him with me, he's on the side doing his things. Like, he knows the procedure from the beginning. So he's always telling me, "Mommy, it's our company," right? So he feels like part of it. So I think if you are relaxed, he or she is relaxed, so you can handle it, but it's definitely a balance you have to find, and you need people around you to, like, take care sometimes. And I think the hardest part is to not be upset always, like, not feeling that you cannot reach all for the company, you cannot reach all for him. I think if you integrate the things for you, both is part of me. That's the most important lesson I took then.
And so I have a son, he's 7 years old, and now I can kind of negotiate with him. Okay, now, like, go draw. Paint something, I'll have like 1 hour podcast interview and then we will play, right? But when he was like 4 years old or 3, like, I couldn't really do this because, like, he demanded attention now, not later. Yeah. So I guess with age, it becomes easier.
Definitely. As mentioned, there's no right or wrong, right? It's more like a integrative journey you spend together. And I mean, being a founder is a decision. Running your own business is a decision for life. It's not just a job. So definitely everyone is affected. And I mean, that can be tough sometimes, but it also has good sides, very good sides. So, for example, like, I remember last time we talked about kindergarten having issues with, like, new play stuff and so on. And my little one just said, "Oh, mommy, we can open a business and sell and buy, like, products for them so they can earn more money to renew the classrooms," right? So what you get out of it is that just he got the entrepreneurial spirit from the beginning. I mean, it's not a good thing. For every child, I know that, right? But especially, like, what you teach them and show them is what their mindset is getting through, right? And so sometimes just don't be afraid to, like, protect them too much. They can handle a lot of things and they're very interested. So keep them on the journey. That worked pretty well for me, at least.
So now he'll go to school soon and start selling wooden stick or something.
Yeah. Okay. Also, okay.
Yeah, now you need to go, right? So thanks a lot for joining us, for sharing the story. I am not keeping you any longer. So enjoy the weekend and bye, everyone.
Yeah, see you next time.